Hello.
Hello, oh, can you hear us?
Hi, how's it going? Sorry about that.
No, no worries at all. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing good.
We're good. Hanging We're good. There.
Thank you so much for joining us and coming on to the show today.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, very exciting. We'd love to just jump right in, and maybe you could start off with introducing yourself and kind of your role at Tres Gatos, if you don't mind.
No, not at all. My name is Phil Wilcox. I am the record and bookstore manager at Tres Gatos in Jamaica Plain, and I have been there since we opened 13 years ago, which seems like a long, long time ago. But
yeah, that's awesome. I have always seen your store, and I've been so curious to come in, and I still haven't made it over there yet, but it will be happening. And we were just kind of wondering how you got into this kind of work and, you know, what was your role in maybe the start of Tres Gatos, or you kind of just came in separately, or what your relationship to the store is?
So, I lived in Jamaica Plain, and Tres Gatos, before it was Tres Gatos, was a little bookstore called Rhythm and Muse. And this would be way, way back, like 2007, 2008. They used to do a thing called the recession parties, recession nights. And this is during the worst of the economic recession, where Dave Doyle, the owner of Tres Gatos, would open the business, or would open Rhythm and Muse up to the neighborhood and let people who had lost their jobs or, you know, were highly underworked come in and get to DJ, and he'd buy pizzas for everybody and have like a box of wine. And it was just a really cool community thing. And I had just moved to Jamaica Plain, and I didn't really know anybody, so I started hanging out there. And after about the third time, I said, you know, I'm sure everybody asks you this, but you're not hiring, are you? Because this is, like, the coolest job in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, actually, I am. And not only that, but I'm planning on closing this business and opening up a hybrid business that's a restaurant and a store. And as often happens, you know, he said, oh, we're going to open in 6 months. The build-out took, like, 2 years. So we didn't end up opening until 2011. But by that point, he said, I'm not going to have time to do the store aspect because the restaurant part of this is going to take up so much time. Would you want to do the store? And I said, yes. And the only thing I want to change is the old store had maybe a milk crate of vinyl. And I was like, I want to go all in on records.
Mm-hmm.
And this was 2011. So, you know, records were coming back, but it wasn't anywhere like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
The first couple years were kind of hard going, you know, other than collectors and DJs, not a lot of people were buying vinyl, but just every year it got busier and busier and busier. And, during and after the pandemic, it accelerated like 6 years worth of growth over just the summer of 2020, which gets us to where we are now.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's incredible. Because that's definitely something that I was wondering about, because I know that vinyl has become super popular more recently. And were you selling exclusively vinyl when you first opened, or did you have CDs or other kind of mediums of music?
I'd say when we opened up, it was like 60-40 vinyl and CDs. Mm-hmm. Now I would say that it's 95-5 vinyl and CDs. There's still people who buy CDs.
Yeah.
Especially during the holidays, people come in and they're like, well, my parents don't have a turntable and I got to buy them something. So you have to have some CDs. And then the other thing is, recently, the last couple of years, cassette tapes have started to come back too. So we stock those as well.
Nice.
It's amazing.
I know. Such a collection.
Yeah. That's like, honestly, that's like a dream working for that company. Music, food. That was like my dream as a kid, was to open up a restaurant bookstore with vinyl. So awesome.
And my mom was a music teacher, and I grew up with music, and like my dream job that I never thought that I would, especially, you know, growing up in the late 90s, early 2000s, because they just didn't exist anymore, was to work at a record store. And the fact that I get to go and run one every day is still, after 13 years, it's like you got to pinch yourself sometimes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I just think it's so beautiful how, like, having physical mediums of, like, vinyl has come back for a lot of, like, youth and stuff, and how, like, everyone's starting to collect vinyl again. It's so awesome.
Yeah, I know.
And yeah, like now, like when a new record comes out, like a big artist, like, you know, recently, you know, Sabrina Carpenter or something like that, there is a line when we open up to get it. And like every possible age group, like just such a wide spectrum of people who are into it. And it's really, really cool.
Does Tres Gatos participate in Record Store Day by any chance?
Yes, and for a store that's kind of as small as we are, we do so extremely disproportionately. I like, not to toot our horn, but I think, like, you know, honestly, that we probably order more Record Store Day stuff than any place in the city that isn't Newbury Comics.
Wow, that's awesome.
Noted.
We close down the restaurant. We have the whole space to play with. We do free coffee and pastries. The owner, Dave, and his family live up directly above the store and the restaurant. And he has a 12-year-old who gets up at 4 in the morning to start making coffee to pass out to people while they're waiting in line. The Record Store Day in April, we opened at 9 a.m. People started getting in line at 11:30 the night before. So they were in line for 9.5 hours.
Whoa.
I remember when I did my first Record Store Day when I was like 17. I got up at like 6 in the morning to go to downtown to wait in line for the store to open at like 10, and I didn't get any coffee or any pastries. So what you're doing is great. Those people need it.
And especially this one coming up, the Black Friday one, like I feel really bad telling people it's the day after Thanksgiving, you have to get up really early in the morning and come and wait in line. And I've really tried to encourage people not to do that. We open at 9 again. I'm like, you know, just come by at 8 and get in line. Mm-hmm. I have already heard from people. They're like, oh, no, I'll be there at 4. I'll be there at 5. I'll be there at 6 a.m.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
I'm like, you know, well, you Thanksgiving different than I do, I guess.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing. I thought you were about to say, like, people show up at maybe, like, 6 or 7 a.m., not 11:30 the night before. That's crazy.
I was leaving work. I was, you know, you're working, you're pricing stuff, you're getting ready to go right up until the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So I'm leaving work to go home and, like, sleep for 5 hours, like, and outside. People are setting up. This year was cold. It was, like, cold and rainy, and they had a tent, and they were setting up. And I talked to them, and like one of them was this whole family, mother, father, kid. And I was like, are you guys sure you want to do this? Like, you can come back just early, you know, like 5 in the morning. It's fine. And they were like, you know, no, that like the kids are really excited about this. And it reminds us of like when we used to camp out overnight to get like concert tickets or something. So they embrace the concept.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's such a nice bonding experience, too. And I feel like it's really nice to see people again, like coming back and really enjoying getting physical media, especially since I feel like WTBU here, we use Spotify a lot, and we're definitely trying to grow our vinyl collection and our CD collection. And it's really cool to see how energetic people are getting over wanting to own physical copies of music and not just rely on kind of streaming services.
Yeah.
You know, everybody uses Spotify. Like, we use Spotify at the store. It's just a part of life. But what I tell people is, like, you know, financially, it's not feasible to buy every record that you love, probably, for most people.
Right.
But if, you know, out of every 10 records you stream, if there's one that you really feel strongly about, especially if it's, you know, like kind of a smaller artist, just go out and buy the record, you know? Doesn't have to be a thing that breaks the bank, doesn't have to be obsessive. I think for a long time people thought like record collecting, and they saw in their head, you know, Empire Records, High Fidelity, it's this obsessive thing. My whole house is going to just be records. For me personally, I buy one a week, you know, just a little gift for getting through the week.
Mine was I'm a special occasions buyer. My birthday, for Christmas, if I do well on a test, that's how I reward myself. New record.
And I do think that, you know, in the age of streaming, there's something to be said about anybody can listen to anything, anytime, anywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's something to be said for it's your record. It's your record that you own, that you can hold in your hands, that you can write your name on. Because with streaming, like, no one owns anything. You just pluck it out of the cloud and you put it back. But, like, again, if you really, really love an artist or a band or a genre, you know, like, I think there is something to be said for, like, go, you know, and like the whole ritual of it, going to a store, listening to it with other people, meeting other people who are into it.
Yeah.
We just did a couple weeks ago a party for the 1-year anniversary of the Chapel Roan record, and the amount of people who came out, and again, like some of the people you'd expect, but like there were like 70-year-olds there who were like, I really love this, and like just seeing how happy they were for everybody to get to like be in the same room, listen to the record, buy a copy of it. 30 people doing the hot to go dance. Really, really cool.
Are there any future events that, you know, anybody should, you know, keep their eye out for Tres Gatos?
I really encourage everybody to come to Black Friday. And you don't have to get there at 5 or 6 in the morning to do it. The list of the releases is online. There is some stuff that people are going to camp out for, like Olivia Rodrigo and Noah Kahan and Kacey Musgraves and Billie Eilish. And those are the things that are going to sell out quick. But they're putting out like 150 different records for this thing. And it's when we bust out all of our Christmas records and we just like really like it's the beginning of the holiday shopping season. We're open all day. I have the use of the restaurant all day. So like come in at like noon. You know what I mean? Bring your friends. If you're hosting Thanksgiving, bring your family. And, you know, don't think of it as this competitive thing where it's like, I got to get there first. I have to be first in line. And I think it's a really good introduction, not just to the space and to Tres Gatos, but you will meet other people who have similar interests to you, who are really, really into music. There are people who come to these things every year over the years who have, like, become friends through it. And even a couple people have met in line for Record Store Day or just at Record Store Day and, like, have gotten into relationships through it. So it's a really good chance to meet new people, which is, you know, like, kind of hard these days to go, you know, especially like social media connecting everybody, but it's harder to go and meet somebody and who has a kindred interest to you. So I encourage everybody, don't think of it as Black Friday, the sale, people bum rushing a Walmart in Long Island at midnight, you know, like it's much more fun and relaxed and communal than that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's beautiful to hear.
Yeah, the community that you guys were able to build. So awesome.
I was wondering, where are you kind of collecting your records from? Are that mostly new records? Are you also getting used as well?
We get new stuff every 3 days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll have 99% of the time, whatever the big release is for that week, we'll have the day it comes out. I think this week the biggest one is probably Doja Cat. That's tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But then used stuff, which is the fun part for me, is like estate sales, yard sales, Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, eBay, and a big part of what I do is going out into the world and you are going through people's collections and in their barns and their attics and their basements and finding stuff, and the amount of crazy, insane stuff that you find just blows your mind.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's incredible. Are you usually going to estate sales in JP or kind of all over?
All over. I mean, and it's really nice to be like on the clock and getting paid and be like, well, I have to go to Gloucester right next to the beach today because that's where the collection is.
Gotta do it.
I guess if I have to.
Does Tres Gatos, do they sell their records primarily just in-store, or do you guys have like an online platform where you can deliver records?
So we have a Discogs page. We don't sell through it, but it's like a catalog of everything that's in the store, which is a really cool idea that I never would have thought of if not for the pandemic. So it's just a tiny, tiny little silver lining that everybody was stuck at home. And, you know, just like everybody else, we were doing curbside pickup, and I bought a big dorky bike that had a basket on it, and I was riding around delivering records or whatever. But we started putting everything that was in the store online. We don't sell through that, but if you can look at it and then you can contact the store. I go to the post office like once or twice a week, so we mail all over the country and international too.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. I know you said you grew up a very big music fan. Are there certain genres or artists that you like to look out for when you're looking for used records?
I mean, we buy everything, we stock everything, and a great thing is this store has really, like, kept me in tune with what's going on in music, because I think that after a while, especially when you get older, you kind of find your lane, right? And you're like, well, this is just the kind of music I like. Like, I don't know that I would know as much as I do about Muna if it wasn't for this job. But also, it exposes you to all kinds of music that you don't have any frame of reference for. There's a compilation coming out tomorrow of Ukrainian folk music from the 60s, which is not something that I grew up with and not something that I know anything about. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like it's a crash course, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like you kind of just become an expert in so many different genres and types of music just by the amount that you have in your collection. Is so cool to
hear. If your like assignment at work for a day is you have to listen to these three records and read the Wikipedia entry on these artists or read this book about this genre, like that is not working in a coal mine. That's a very good job.
Yeah, it's a great job. This could be a very controversial question, but do you have a favorite record that you have in your own personal collection?
This is basic, but I've said this before. I'll say it again. If I was going to like send one record out into space, like for aliens to find, mm-hmm. this is what it's all about down here, it would be Born to Run.
Born to Run. Okay.
And you know what? I was like testing to make sure that the link for your site worked last night. It's like 12:30 at night, and mm-hmm. I go to stream what's on, and you guys are playing Thunder Road at 12:30 at night. So
it's a classic.
Oh yeah, gotta have that.
That's actually... I was like, well, yeah. Now I'm definitely doing the interview.
That's so funny.
Actually had a guest on a couple weeks ago who. Was a BU alum and wrote a book set at BU in the 1970s, and his kind of soundtrack for the novel was like Born to Run as well.
So much research.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so like one of his first really big shows was at the Harvard Theater in Harvard Square in 1974 or five. Mm-hmm. And it's the show that put him on the radar for Rolling Stone and all these other magazines. And I don't know that it's going to happen, but at one point I heard rumblings that the Harvard Theater is not there anymore, that they were going to mm-hmm. put up like a plaque or something.
Ooh.
And that he might come and dedicate it. I don't know if that'll actually happen, awesome. But that was something that I had heard about like through the grapevine.
Maybe you could put a plaque outside of your restaurant and then he'll come there.
Yeah, this is nowhere near the Harvard Theater, but it's close enough.
Close enough.
Same state, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like we're almost kind of running out of time, but just to close out, I was wondering if you kind of had anything that you feel is the most important people should know about kind of what you do, Tres Gatos, and also kind of something you recommend for people coming to visit.
So we're open every day. We're open during the day. We're open as late as the restaurant, which is unusual for a lot of record stores. So we're open till 10 p.m. at night. Mm. If you are of drinking age, you can get a drink at the bar and have a glass of wine or a beer while you're looking through records. If you're having dinner, you can say, you know, I'm kind of interested in this record, but I'm not sold. Can you play it? And you can listen to it while you're eating, which is a really good conversation starter. If you're at the bar, somebody's like, oh, who put this on? And you're like, I did. Mm-hmm. Get to meet new people. And I've just been saying this to everybody, especially because it's October and it's really feeling like October during the nights lately. Mm-hmm. Holidays are coming up. We get new stuff every 3 days. We're small. A lot of what we do is ordering stuff directly for people within reason, even if it's an old record or like an out of print book, or we can track it down. So come and do your holiday shopping with a little mom and pop indie store where the owners live upstairs and they might pop down while you're shopping and give you like a lemon square that they just made. And it helps us. It hurts Amazon. It keeps all the money in the neighborhood. And then you can immediately treat yourself to dinner after. So it should be as stress-free as holiday shopping can possibly get.
Wow, you're describing like paradise to me right now.
This is a dream.
That is heaven.
If I didn't work there, I would go there all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I will definitely go there now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you sold me.
I'm a friend. I had no idea this existed. There's so much in Boston that I've yet to explore, and this will definitely be on my radar.
There's this thing, there's this conception if you're not in Jamaica Plain, that Jamaica Plain is like the moon. But we have two different subway lines and a bunch of buses. It's easier to get to than you think. It's gorgeous. Even if you have to walk, it's gorgeous to walk through.
Yeah, I was actually just looking at bus routes before you came on, and I was like, wow, we really are not that far apart.
From BU, yeah. It's like, yeah. It's like, I don't even know, like a 20-minute walk, 25-minute walk maybe. Hmm. And through, through like the Riverway and the Emerald Necklace, so it's gorgeous this time of year too.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, well, thank you so, so much for coming on and talking with us. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you guys so much for having me. And you're doing amazing, really important work, and just keep it up and keep playing Bruce.
Oh, we will. Absolutely. We absolutely will. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. All Have right. a great
thank
day.
You. Thanks, you thank too. You.
See you
Bye.
Soon.
Bye-bye.